You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 20 September. Japanese inflation came in at 3% versus 2.8% previously. And Bank of Japan in the last hour left rates unchanged at 0.25%. I'm Simon Brown, coming live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. A quick programming note, we will have a show on Monday, but it will be pre-recorded. Today we're going to be chatting with Jimmy Moyaha. Let's talk rates and mixed Remgro results. Dividend up, but HEPS falling. Hilton owner, CEO, Discovery Bank. Results in the bank, new product launches, and they are certainly ahead of targets. When do they get profitable? And then thoughts for me what to do with that extra money with those with home loans, thanks to the rate cut yesterday. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Adventurism not part of policy toolkit, says Kenyatta. After rate cut, SA will not necessarily mirror the US on interest rates. Business Day, battling SABC seeks more state funding and household levy. MPs here, the TV license model is unenforceable due to non-compliance. Morning markets, the US was green, S&P 1.7% higher, NASDAQ 2.6% higher. Over in the East, it is mixed. Sydney, 0.2% down, Tokyo up 2.1%, Hong Kong up 1%, and Tencent down 0.2%. Commodities, green. Gold, 2,616. Brent, 74.77. Platinum, exactly 1,000. Palladium, 1,091. The Rand is 17.49. That's a 19-month high. Bitcoin, 63,600. Top 40 opening call, 60 points to the green. That's a little under 0.1%.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Moyaha, independent analyst. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning. Jerome Powell, Wednesday evening, 0.5%. Our governor yesterday, only 0.25%. I have to say, in his defense, they did show their inflation expectations over the next couple of years, and they don't expect inflation to get much below that 4.5% midpoint of the range. Albeit, I mean, Johan Els, I spoke to him earlier in the week from Old Mutual, and he said 3.5% for October. Your take on our governor and rates coming down.
Morning, Simon. Yeah, so the interesting thing that the governor said in sort of the speech as he was giving us that rate decision was he spoke about the interest rate differential and managing that side of it. But he also brought up something interesting about the inflation differential to suggest that for as long as the South African inflation rate remains higher than the US inflation rate, that there is risk that sits within that, and that risk will be something they might not be looking at now. But if you read into that statement, you could almost sense that they want to bring inflation even lower than this 4.5% midpoint. And we've known, the governor said this before, we've known about it, to say he's very interested in lowering that anchoring level from a long-term basis. And you can start to see that, to say, okay, most central banks seemingly have gotten inflation under control. It's no longer sticky. It's no longer running away. And now the second part of that focus for our own central bank is to try and lower that anchoring down to probably 2%. And that is possibly what he's alluding to around why the decisions they took will look a little different to the decisions that the U.S. took.
And on the US one, quick, I mean, the markets did, but on Wednesday evening, the markets weren't so sure. Last night, they absolutely went to town. We've got highs left, right, and center. I need to quickly check. I think S&P closed at a new, S&P new all-time high. NASDAQ a little bit down on that. The US markets were all gung-ho for their about 0.5% rate cut.
Yeah, so initially when the rate cut was delivered, you saw there was a huge spike in optimism. The gold price touched $2,600 an ounce. It came right back down to $2,550 odd. It has since gone back to break that high. But there was almost an initial knee-jerk reaction to suggest that perhaps the 50 basis points was a panicked move by the Fed, because Fed Chair Jerome Powell, in his speech, also then, from his perspective, said that they perhaps waited too long to cut. And you and I have spoken about this as well, to say, if they wait too long, what are the potential impacts of that? And maybe that's what spooked the market initially. But I suppose as the market digested it, and as the market kind of processed the outcome of the 50 basis points and the rest of the dot plot for the year and going into next year, the market might have actually settled on the fact that this could be the best way to achieve a soft landing.
Yeah, I take your point. And it was a fairly frank admission from the governor. On from rates, Remgro. I mean, this is a stock which I keep on thinking, really, you know, its heyday was a long, long time ago. My grandfather probably loved Remgro. They hike dividend, but earnings under pressure. A lot of that is corporate action. Still a, 40% discount to net asset value. That discount used to be closer to 15%. Your take on Remgro and the numbers out yesterday?
Yes, actually, I caught up with the CFO on the numbers, and we looked at that discount, and that discount is a serious concern for them. I think it's now closer to 45%. Yeah. They're not happy with that, but at the same time, the corporate actions, a lot of those corporate actions, to the tune of some 760 odd million collectively, a lot of those corporate actions are one-off events from Remgro's perspective. So they're saying, look, we have to account for them at some point. Some of them are accounting adjustments, which we know with any company, there's very little you can do about that. Mm-hmm. They did increase the dividend ever so slightly. And I think the main crux of the performance centered around the fact that there were some assets that did well, some assets that didn't do so well. So if you look at the performance of RCL, the performance of Total Energies, and the contributions of those into the earnings of Remgro, those were significant contributors, but they were offset by the fact that there was a 4 billion rand impairment to the Heineken business, which they've now obviously sold off, and they've got... They still own a portion of it after that deal and everything that's happened there, but that still is something that they had to contend with. So from Remgro's perspective, I know they've definitely had to navigate quite an interesting time. And I suppose this is what you have to do with a investment holding company that has such a diverse portfolio. So on the one hand, having the diverse portfolio allows you to benefit from this kind of situation where your good performing assets can kind of balance out against some non-performing assets. But if it is one-off events and you are expecting that this will not be a recurring thing, then being able to take that hit and absorb that hit comfortably and still increase your dividend is signs that the underlying portfolio assets do remain strong.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And a lot of it was just one-off, so which will then see the bounce back. We'll leave it there. Jimmy Moyo, our independent analyst. Appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Hilton Kleiner, CEO, Discovery Bank South Africa. Hilton, appreciate the time today. Discovery Group results out. We're going to talk about the bank. Operating loss was down by 41% at 454 million. Importantly, you got your goal of a million clients post the period end, but well ahead of the 2026 target. When do you anticipate the bank being profitable?
At an operating level, the bank actually generates an operating profit in the second half of the year, which was a phenomenal result for us. Obviously, the rate of new business growth is substantial, and there is a cost associated with acquiring clients and instantiating them and onboarding them. So after new business costs, there is still a loss in the bank, but we expect to break even and be profitable on a run rate basis during this financial year. In totality. So the bank is making great progress, and the operating profit in the second half is a significant milestone for the bank.
And well ahead of target. I mean, this suggests that the concept and the product being offered is absolutely meeting demands of your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we see is that the bank is being really, really well received by clients across the board. And that's something that we're really pleased with. We've seen growth in our kind of digital pay-as-you-transact accounts, which are really, really kind of efficient accounts that clients can access. And then all the way through to our Purple private banking products, which offer really rich rewards and access to a private banker and really high-touch service and everything in between. So, you know, we're seeing growth across the board. at kind of all segments, and that's really what's driven us towards that or over that million client milestone.
And are clients using it as their primary bank? I mean, are they depositing their monthly salary into it?
Yeah, so we're seeing significant primary account usage. Over half of our clients that are joining the bank are joining on really kind of rich products. So credit cards, sweet accounts, transaction mm-hmm. bundle accounts. So those are kind of the products that clients use for their primary banking. And we see a substantial proportion, about 25% of our clients are using the bank for salaries and primary accounts. So it's a really highly engaged client base that we're seeing. And that's essentially, I think, based on our shared value banking model. You know, it's a model that encourages clients to manage their money well.
Yeah.
And that lends itself to primary banking as well.
That shared value, I mean, are you seeing perhaps better in payments than through the industry, the sort of industry standards?
Yeah, so there's no doubt that consumers have been under immense pressure, yeah. In particular over the last year. The results that we show today reflected the fact that our clients, our client base, is a really high quality client base. So you know, our impairments and our credit loss ratios are significantly below the rest of the industry. But even notwithstanding that, we can see that consumers across the board, and we see a lot of the kind of the dynamics across the group playing out are under pressure. So the rate cut will come as a really kind of welcome relief to I think all South Africans. And we should see that playing through.
Yeah, I mean, the rate cut, only 0.25%. And the governor makes a good point, a good argument as to why only 0.25%. But it's an important start of a trend and should take, you know, if we roll forward and have this conversation in September next year, the consumer will be in a much better place.
Yeah, we expect so. And what we see is that sentiment is turning quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's so important for consumers and for South Africa as a whole. And we often see, you know, that the kind of the trend in sentiment leads ahead of the actual underlying financials and economics. So what we've seen a really kind of positive uptick just in general sentiment. I think the ending of load shedding has played a significant part in that. And now I think the kind of the economic impetus that we really need in South Africa will play through as a result of the rate cuts. And I think, you know, to his credit, the governor has always been incredibly prudent, conservative, and managed the kind of the interest rate cycle with a kind of a really responsible hand. And I think we're seeing it playing through now. And to you know, to their credit, the Reserve Bank is really kind of a global kind of globally recognized regulator in that regard.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest, I would have liked 50 points, but the truth is we like conservative central bankers, and I take your point. He's a global recognized in the space, so we leave him to do his job as he does it best. You're talking around the users. You got a million accounts and the like. I imagine a lot of them are also using other sort of broader discovery products, the Vitality insurance products and investment products as well.
We've seen amazing engagement across the board. So we've got, you know, in the bank, we've got a really sophisticated and extensive travel ecosystem for mm-hmm. our clients, where they can book flights and get significant discounts based on how they manage their health and how they manage their finances and how they drive. The bank is really central more and more to the entire group strategy, and it's the front end. You know, we have over 10 million app logins within the bank, and over 80% of digital activity across the whole Discovery South Africa group is in the bank app. So it's really secure, it's seamless, and it gives access to the ecosystems that we built. So what we've seen is that our clients have booked over 2.5 million flights
wow.
through the bank platform. That's probably about 7 or 8 airplanes full of Vitality and Discovery bank clients every single day. And it plays through the entire experience. So we have our lounges at mm-hmm. all of the South African domestic airports. We've got international lounge access. We've got fast tracks through the airport. But the real kind of key is that the better you manage your health, the better you manage your money, and the better that you drive through all of our different products and through the Vitality programs, the deeper the discount on flights domestically and internationally. So our clients are really benefiting, and the use of the bank app is prolific as a result. We also have our Discovery Miles, which is our rewards currency. People literally earn rewards for kind of walking, running, eating healthily, banking healthily. And we now see 1 billion miles, which is 100 million rands worth of miles, monetizing better behaviors every single month being earned and then spent in our partner network. So really the engagement is accelerating. And I think far exceeds the kind of the expectations that we have had.
You introduced home loans earlier in the year. It's been a tough market. We've spoken about a consumer under pressure, prime at 11.75. But how's that been received?
So I think the home loan product talks squarely to one of the primary financial needs of our clients.
Yeah.
And it sort of rounded off the entire range that we offer, from transaction accounts through to credit cards. And home loans are central. For most people, their home is their most significant asset. So it was important to be able to offer the product. We've offered a shared value home loan, which is a unique product. So the better you manage your finances, the lower your interest rate. And we've seen significant interest. We've had a large number of clients apply for home loans. The process of home loans, by its nature, takes a while. So we have over 150 million rands worth of home loans already dispersed, and about another 600 million already in at the conveyances awaiting registration. So it's got very, very quick traction, the home loan product. I think it reflects the fact that clients have been under real pressure.
And so the
appeal of earning or paying a lower interest rate based on how you manage your money is really strong in the current environment. And what's been interesting for us is we thought that probably most of our clients would be switching home loans initially. Mm-hmm. We've seen significant interest in the new home loan space as well. So I think, there's clearly a market, and I think with the kind of the interest rate cycle turning, hopefully we'll see a significant interest in it.
Last question. If we look at the sort of traditional banking models, cost to income is typically in the low 50%. So if we look at the sort of the newer entrants, I'm thinking Capitec, it's high 30s, low 40s. You're a purely digital bank. Your cost to income, I imagine, would come in starkly lower than the traditional banking space.
Yeah, so obviously we still scaling.
Yeah, yeah.
And so our cost to income is reducing significantly. I mean, over the last year, it's reduced by 15 percentage points. So the scalability of our model is strong. And in the long term, we see the opportunity to have probably one of the lowest, if not the lowest, cost income ratio in the retail space. I mean, what's interesting is that for our million clients, we have approximately 600 full-time employees managing that entirely. So it kind of reflects the scalability of the bank. And in fact, on a kind of staff per 1,000 clients ratio, we think that the Discovery Bank is probably the lowest in the market already. So significant efficiencies and a lot more to come.
Yeah, and I always said the old banks are proud of their 150 years of heritage. Fair enough, but it also means they've got a ledger in a basement somewhere they need to keep up to date, and that's a huge drag on expenses. Hilton Kellner, CEO, Discovery Bank SA, appreciate the time.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So that 0.25% rate cut from the governor yesterday on a 1 million rand bond, you save 173 rand a month. We've also got petrol down 5 months in a row. We're getting some savings there. And we know what's right with this extra money. We should pay down debt. We should save. We should invest. Sure. Hey, life. It's been a tough many years. Frankly, ever since the pandemic, back in March 2020. So spend how you want. But here's my advice. Plan how you will spend it regardless. Maybe you're going to go and pay down some debt or whatever. But maybe you want a dinner, maybe a night at the movies, whatever rocks your world. Point is, if you don't plan what to do with that little bit of extra money, it will just disappear. It will be swallowed up by other things. So plan, enjoy. It's been tough, but do make that plan. That's it for today. I was chatting with Sean Dendery from Tribe South Africa yesterday. We were talking about the Southern Sun trading update. We asked if you're buying leisure stocks. Almost 2/3 said no, better options. 1/3 said yes, great potential. The rest said some, but not all. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday, PGMs.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.